How many of you guys know that life comes at you from all directions? Not only does it come at you, it doesn't stop coming at you. Sometimes you want to start blaming the devil. The devil says, that ain't me. He says, I wouldn't even consider doing that. You want to blame me, but all along it's been you. Life just happens. And then we try to get prophetic. I think that the tire got a flat because it speaks of my ministry that it's about to be deflated. No, you ran over a nail. My window won't go down in the car, so that means that the windows have been shut up. No, that means you need to change the battery on the motor of your car. You know, we try to get real prophetic. Someone broke into the house, and that means God's getting ready to bring a thief and steal everything. No, there's bad people in the world. It can make you real bitter. But if you just walk things out and trust God with radical faith, I mean radical faith, not the faith that like, oh, I'm going to pray for my headache. It's going to be gone. I think I'll take my aspirin now. I'm talking about the radical faith. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what I have. I will use what God has given me. I will do what he's told me to do. I will say what he tells me to say. I will continue pressing on. Because it will get better. Life is hard. Thank you, Jesus, that he conquered it all. And he didn't just do it for one. He didn't just do it for the believer. He did it for all of mankind. Some of the religious folks might want to get up and get out of here because I'm about to just hit you between the eyes. He did it for the sinner. He did it for your sins today. He's doing it for the sins for you tomorrow. He's keeping his blood working on your behalf. And for everyone that wants to go astray, there's a blood that knows how to reach you where you're at. And he's bringing you back home. All we got to do is have radical faith. Hallelujah. Service is over. I'm going to share something about George. George has been a blessing to this house. A blessing. George has been a part of Aliens. Remember when we did the scavenger hunt? We found all those things, and George started preaching on all those little items that he found. I said, why don't you tell me what it means? And he would start preaching it to us. And this is an Aliens, the teenage group. And, you know, well, he's not a teenager, but he would come and he'd be a part of it, and he would bless us. And it's always been a blessing to see him running and keeping focus after God. A strong blessing. Adversity comes, just like all of us. But God is faithful in his word. So he has a testimony he wants to share that ties in with the tithe. And I wanted him to share it with you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's amazing how that song was just on. It gets better because it truly does get better. And it'll start off by just simply tithing. Somebody say about a year ago.
About a year ago.
About a year ago. I was on Facebook and, you know, there were so many challenges going on. The Ice Bucket Challenge and the Worship Challenge. Let me see you sing your favorite worship song. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to make up my own challenge. I'm going to do the Tithe Challenge. And, you know, Malachi 3:10 says to test me and see what I come through. So I said, you know, God, I'm going to test you. And I'm going to tithe 10%, 100% of the time for 90 days. And I said, you know, I can afford 90 days. That's from August until October. I said, so I'm good on that. So... And I said, well, Lord, what am I going to test you in? And so I began to create a list of things. And I said, well, I want my family to come closer. You know, I want to travel more. I want job promotions. And I didn't write this list down. I just made it up in my head. And I began to go out through the year, and these things began to happen. I got offered a job promotion, but I didn't take it, though, because it wasn't beneficial and conducive. And I would be making more money staying in the position that I'm at now versus moving. And in that lesson, God taught me there are going to be several doors that open, but every door is not meant for you to go through. You know, and just because you ask for something, he's going to give you a lot of the things that you ask for, but they may not be what you need. And so I learned that through this year. Also, last year, last May, Pastor Marty prophesied that I would go to Mexico and I would have this good time. It was on a soaking night that I would have this enjoyable time in Mexico. And so I went to Mexico the following month after that. And within the last year, I've been to Mexico 3 different times. And I can attribute that to tithing and putting your fruit and your money into the right storehouse, into a fruitful house that's going to prosper, and you're going to see the fruits of your labor. So I just want to encourage anybody, if you're on the grounds or, you know, on the fence about, you know, should I tithe or should I not tithe, start off with that 90-day challenge and see how it works out for you. And within that 90-day, you'll see God moving. And, you know, once you hit that 90-day mark, it becomes repetition. And it's like, you know what, when I get my paycheck, let me send my tithe, PayPal. Let me send my 10% to my 10%. I don't know why I'm being so tongue-tied. Send my 10%. And before you know it, it's a year. And it's so easy. And it's not that big hurdle of, okay, because I used to tithe, but it was never 10%. I would just give God what I could. If I had a 20, that was a good Sunday in my pocket. But you know, you're at the end of the day, you're robbing yourself. You're not really been beneficial. And, you know, that's why you continue to have diseases and lacking your house and all these other different things, is because you're not tithing. You're not doing what he says to. And that's the main thing of worship, is obedience. And once you can be obedient to him, then all the other blessings will flow. So that's all I want to say.
I appreciate that. Not to share too much more other than what he shared with you. You know, when we would do the tithes and offering, we would see increase in people's lives. Okay. And it's those that would always listen to the word of God when it's spoken, not just during the time of service, because I have individuals in this house that they give when they get their paycheck right on their PayPal. They just do it. Automatic. Boom. It goes. You have some that just send the check directly, like it's a bill. And what I have seen, my wife can attest to this, we've seen the increase. You understand? And this isn't going to be a message on tithing. This is a message on faith. Faith. How it all ties in. We have been going through a season where we feel like things are being taken away. We feel that things have been stripped, things have been broken. And in the process of our life, we have fragments. Say it with me, fragments. Look to your neighbor and say, he said fragments. Say it again, look at the other neighbor and say, he said fragments. Look to the neighbor behind you and say, in case you don't know, that means pieces. That means pieces. I have a tendency to be a little on the edge, on the cusp of just being a little crazy. I stay crazy for a reason. Is he? For a reason. Is that right? Can you help me? Can you help me? Who wants a bite? Who wants a bite? You want a bite? Take a bite. Take a bite. All right. No. Okay. Okay. I hope you're going to take a piece. Oh, take a piece. Take a piece. Take a piece. Okay, that's right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, she's not even. I like that. Since your wife did it, go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Look at that. For those trying to listen on the podcast, what is Pastor doing? Well, he's giving one donut to many people in the church to take bites of. You can bite. You can pull. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. Anybody? Anybody? All right. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right, James. Go ahead, sir. There we getting some big old pieces now. You want? That's it. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on. That's all. Okay, I got you. Yes, sir. I got you. Anybody on this? I got you. Come on, brother. Come on. That's it. I got gum. She's like, give it. I was just waiting for you to get on this side. Yeah. Little man, you want back? Come on, little man. Come on. You're watching? Go ahead. I didn't have a little piece, though. All right. Look at it. We started off what we would say one, right? Just one donor. But one was shared with many. And what is left is a fragment of what it started out to be. And we feel like the only thing that we have left in our life are the pieces that are left in our walk with God. But all along, God says, I'm just looking for the little faith that you have in the size of a mustard seed. I don't need to have the tree. I just need to have a piece of your faith. And a piece of your faith, I will multiply it in your life. It doesn't matter if it's big. It don't matter if you have a lot. Will you give me the fragment of your life? Will you give me the pieces that you feel that are falling around you and you feel that it's nothing, but it's very significant to God? The enemy wants to come in and destroy and start tearing things apart. But God says, if you trust me, son, trust me. Trust me. Not only will I use the fragment in your life, not only will I use the pieces of your life, I will gather you unto me, and I'll make everything that you have given out multiply. And everything that someone has taken from you, I'll cause them to be blessed. Because you're not a person that curses, you're a person that blesses. I have proven you to be approved by me, says God. Because every time they've come against you, you stood. And you loved. And every time you felt like, my God, when is it going to end? You felt like the wind would come even more and more. That the rain and the waves would continue to come. And God says, I'm using the fragmented pieces of your life. I'm using the fragmented walk in your life. The times you want to quit, I'm using it. The times you want to throw in the towel, I'm using it. For there's people that said, I can't do this no more. And God says, I will use you in the midst of your own storm. The fragments. There has been marriages that have been destroyed. And they feel I only have a little bit of trust left. I will use that little bit of trust. I will use that little bit that you have left in you. And I will multiply it. And I will put an end to the very thing that is causing you to say, I can't. It's the pieces and the fragments that he's looking for. What will you do and how will you act with what God has already given you? Will you use it or will you lose it? Use what you have. If you only got a little bit, that's what you're going to use. I only got a little bit of fragment left in me of faith. He says, that's what I'm going to use. You want to quit, but I'm about to put you on fire like never before. You've emptied everything of yourself. You're at that point where you feel, God, take me home. Take me home. He says, no, you're not giving up the ghost. I'm filling you with my fire. I'm filling you with purpose. I'm filling with everything that you need in this very hour. You can't quit, people of God. You can't stop. Life happens. But in everything that you have that's been fragmented or broken or in pieces, that's what God is going to use to lift you, to promote you, to take you to where you are designed to be. Everyone has purpose. Everyone has a destiny. But not everyone tied to you is destined to go where you're going. And you feel like, but people that you've invested in have left. God says, that is what I designed you to do. Invest me in them. But in the end, when you turn around, your fragmented faith, your fragmented life will produce that very harvest that you didn't think you were ever going to experience. Because there's times in your life that you feel, this is just too much. I'm here to encourage you. He's looking for those pieces so that you can use what you have. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. If you don't hold on, you'll lose it. Sometimes God says you've been holding on to that piece for so long. You feel like you can't even hold on. Lord, it's just a piece of a donut. I can't even hold on no more. It's been so heavy because my faith and my trust has been built around on a fragment of what I've had that was once whole, and I feel that what is left has been broken and fragmented. What can I stand on? He says, when you know that it's me, you don't need the whole thing, because I'm the one that brings increase to your life. I'm the one that takes you from that place of Lodabar and takes you to the mountaintop. I'm the one that brings you from the valley and takes you to the mountaintop. There's no place that my arm cannot reach. There's no place you can run or hide from me. I will use the fragmented pieces of your life. And I'll show you my promises to be true. And I'll prove that I've been with you all along. I'll prove it. Make room. Make room. When you have felt that everything has been just in so much turmoil, I'm going to use it. Because I need people that know how to walk in the midst of the storm. Peter didn't walk out on calm waters. He walked out in the midst of a storm. He walked out when the waves are being turbulent and buffeting the boat. He says, will you walk through this storm? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Use it or lose it. Use what you got. Use what you've got. There's a story in the Bible, and I know I'm all over the place, but I'm tired of getting to a place in my life where I have to prepare, prepare, prepare. God says, now put it aside and trust me. Put it aside and trust me. I used to sit in churches where the preacher knew his word before he even walked in. He had it from last year. He preached it 3 years ago. And he comes up and he spews out the same message over and over because it's something that is put on the calendar that needs to be preached on this day. God says, will you trust me enough to speak in the very season that the people are in? I said, God, I will move out of the way. I will move out of the way to let you speak so that we can grow in the kingdom of God. I so appreciate him because he loves me even in my fragmented pieces. He says, Marty, will you just use what you've got? Use it or lose it. Look to your neighbor and say, use it or lose it. Look to the other one. Use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Because that fragment, that piece is about to multiply in your life. Oh, it's going to multiply in your life. The season of not having enough is going to be a season of more than enough. That season of being empty is about to be filled. That season of only having it half full is about to be filled to running over. I see that there are things that have been taking place in the home where we have felt that we can't get past this certain area of our life. And we have always felt that, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? But there is a season where God says, you must wait until I declare it to manifest in your life. I got to the point that I irritated God so much with my cry that I said, I ain't quitting. I'm going to knock and knock and knock and knock and knock and knock until you open the door, God. I trust your word, God. I'm going to knock and knock to the point that God is saying, get to that boy right there. Get to that woman. Get to that girl. Don't quit knocking. Don't quit seeking. Because you will find. Ask and you shall receive. I said, God, it seems like my prayer has been repetitive. Lord, we need a bigger space. Lord, we need space for my babies. We need space. We need a new place for my babies. We need a new place for my babies. God said, I've heard your cries. I've heard your cries. And I'm bringing it to you, son. I'm bringing it to you. And I thank you, God, that I can irritate you by the Spirit that make you move on my behalf. We get comfortable. We get comfortable and we don't want to move. We don't want God to put us through the storm so that our prayer can change. But sometimes in our storm, the prayer remains the same. God, where are you? Where are you? What are you doing right now?
He says, as long as you stay in that boat, son, you're going to stay the same. I need you to know what it is to start walking and sinking. But it didn't end there. He had to rely on Jesus, even when he was sinking. That the bread of life reached down into the water and picked up that crazy old dude, Marty, out of the water. He said, you think you're sinking? I'm just letting you know that my hand can go as deep as you need to go and bring you right back to that place. He says, then, and that scripture says, immediately they were on the other side. He silenced the wind and the storm. That even the others around them, y'all want to hear this now. Those around you don't understand the power and the authority that works on your behalf. Because they stayed comfortable. I don't know about you, but I will keep taking my fragments, as you will as well, and give them to God. Use what you've got. Use what you've got. Psalms 84:11 says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God will not hold a blessing from you or his promise from you. He's going to perform it. He's going to do it. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, not to put on their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Okay, they didn't hear it. First, he's rebuking those that have. He's rebuking those that have. And then he says, but what I do give is give things for you for your enjoyment. All right, maybe enjoyment for you is sitting in a church 7 days a week and sitting there crying your eyes out. And I don't know about you, but there is life. There's a balance. You need to be earthly minded as well. Not carnal minded, earthly minded. So that what you have learned in the spiritual realm, you can apply in this earthly realm and you can release it to others. That's why the fragments in your life are so important. Those seasons of not enough are the most important seasons of your life, because he begins to speak. He begins to show you. He begins to give you understanding. When you have so much, you get comfortable. You ever wondered why you're in a season that you're just producing, and then you feel like you're going back and back and back? Then you think, okay, well, we got to cut cable, we got to cut internet, we got to cut this, cut that. Well, that's trying to use good wisdom, but maybe God is trying to show you something with your walk. That he wants to elevate your faith. That he has to test you. He has to prove you. But I was scheduled to get my increase on this check. And it didn't happen. And I got to pay my bills. And I'm going to be late. Well, you know that God is an on-time God. He doesn't work on your calendar. Nor your clocks. He releases it in his timing. You can fast. You can pray. You can cry. You can shout. You can be like this knucklehead and keep on knocking and knocking and knocking. But I trust God enough to know that he's going to come through. Because if he did it once, he will do it again. You understand? How many of you have seen God do great things in your life? All right. He's going to do it again. And then he's going to do it again and again. Why? Because that's how much he loves you. Mark 7, verses 7 through 12. It's basically, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to keep on seeking. I'm going to keep on irritating too. I'm going to irritate the heavenly realm. Some of these devils need to be irritated and know who I am. Well, you just a Mexican, don't even know. You didn't even go to theology school. You didn't even go to seminary school. That's why I'm not in the grave either, fool. You want to act like I got to go have my doctorate degree before I can speak to you? Can someone explain to me how Jesus at 12 years old? Oh, but that's God. God can speak his word because he's God. He had to answer to his mama, didn't he? Boy, get your butt over here. You have me worried about you. Get your butt over here. But I'm God. No, God has a way of getting what you need, teaching you all things through the Spirit of the living God. And when you go to seminary school, there's something y'all can attest to this because you've been. All you learn how to do is put your points together. Go ahead and put it in a structured setting so that you can preach what you put down. How about we start preaching what God is saying right now? What he wants to say to the church right now. Because when I read in the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul begins to write to the churches, it wasn't in a favorable spot. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. And he writes 2/3 of the New Testament. Things are not going to go the way you think. They're not going to be manifested the way you hope. Oh, they're going to come. Some of y'all have received prophetic words. You're going to write books. How many of you received that word? You're going to write books. Raise your hand. 3. There's another one in here. Another book. Another book. That's it. 3 in this house. The 3 in this house, stand up. Ask this question. Have you started writing? Have you started writing? And you stop. Have you started writing, man? Pieces, fragments. Have you started writing, Pastor Inez? Little bit. I'm telling you this right now. Read what the Apostle Paul went through. Were storms, imprisonment, bondage to get the heart of God to the people. And if you're asking for the storm to be moved away, it's in the storm that he speaks. It is in the storm that it begins to manifest. Glazed sugar donut. Left some fragments. The Apostle Paul writes, and he writes from a point of understanding, but he writes from understanding by the Spirit of God. And I find it very interesting that he's in prison and he's sent on a ship. Y'all know that story? Jumping all the way down, but that's all good. Acts 27:44. Acts 27 in general is about when Paul is imprisoned. He becomes a prisoner, but they put him on a ship and they send him. The storm is coming. They take him off. They put him on another ship. They send him. Another storm is coming. And they're getting so freaked out, they don't even know what to do. And they get to the point now he's with the other prisoners. And this storm comes. It's really, really bad. But the Lord spoke to him one night and said that you got to go before the governor, and you've got to go and be there. So that wasn't where he was at, but that was a place that he should be. Now, that wasn't the direction that he was going, but that's where God was taking him. How many of you know that God would take you roundabout way? A roundabout way. God, I'm going to get my donut. God says, really, before you get your donut, you're going to go this way. Then you're going to go that way. And then you're going to go this way again. You're going to go that way. Matter of fact, you're going to stop midstream. But all along, it's just right there. It's just in the back and it's staring at me. You know, it's fresh. The light was on from Krispy Kreme. It was on. So I know it's fresh. It's hot. It's getting ready to move. He said, but you're going to wait a bit. You're going to wait over here for a little bit. God is a God that will take you a roundabout way. Because he wants you to get to the point where, you know what, doesn't matter what comes my way. I know my place and where I'm going. But if he was to give it to you that fast, that quick, maybe we would have been like the people he spoke about, that those that had too much. We would have developed an attitude. We would develop pride, arrogance. Look at me. But if he takes you through a path that teaches you about faith, so that when it is manifest, you'll savor it. You won't squander it. You won't waste it. You'll ask him, God, I know this isn't all mine. Who's it for? I'm a steward of what you give me, God. You own everything. It's all yours. As many preachers today say, you need to take dominion, take ownership of it. That's what he told us to do. He said, take dominion. Rule over the earth. Rule over it. But we think that our own infinite mind, really infinite, that we can determine our outcome. That if we think positive, things will end up positive. And I ask many of those people that believe that, how's it turned out? Well, not as good as I thought. Well, you're not thinking right then. Didn't you have positive thoughts? And it didn't end positive? How about you start putting your thoughts and your efforts entrusted in God? Even when it doesn't seem like it's working out on your behalf, it's working for you. God has a way of doing things in a roundabout way to show you what he needs to get to. So you get to Acts 27:44, and they're going to issue a decree to kill all the prisoners that are with Paul on this ship during this storm, because they're afraid that if they do run aground and they get shipwrecked, that all these prisoners are going to escape. So the centurion soldier is getting ready to kill them all. And he says, no, don't kill them all. No, don't kill them. Acts 27:44, the centurion wishing to save Paul, watch this, for Paul, he kept them from carrying on their plan. What was that? To kill all the prisoners. Thank you for the Pauls in your life. Your life isn't spared just because of you. Sometimes it's spared because those that God told you to connect with. Hey, cut out of my foot. Sometimes God will put you with some folks that you're supposed to go through the storm with. But when a storm comes, they're the first one jumping ship. See ya! They start jumping ship and thinking that I'm going to make it to land. Fool, you didn't see the sharks just swarming around, did you? You didn't see the sharks waiting for you to jump because they already knew your nature. Looking for an opportune meal. Jumping out the boat because a storm came. That's not how it's supposed to be with God. Things are supposed to work out smooth. Things are supposed to work out right. Look and read your Bible. Nothing works out that way. Everything comes with a storm. Everything comes with pressure attached to it. And then there's times he says, those folks, if they'd have left, they'd have died. But Paul didn't say, you got to stay. Paul didn't say it. Who said it? Someone of authority. Well, you hear authority in the midst of a storm. Stay connected. Paul says, you stay with me. Stay with the ship. You'll make it. Because I got a place to be. And this isn't my end. Paul knew it. How many of you know when God gives you a word, it's going to look like you're about to die? This ain't a word from the Lord, you false prophet. I gave you $100 for my word. And you're getting all mad. You think you're about to die, and it's, oh Lord. And you don't hear nothing but the waves. This particular story, I found it very interesting. They were in this big ship. And in this ship, they started throwing everything overboard. Everything overboard. They were so scared, they didn't eat. How many of you have been to that point in your life when things don't look right, you're so scared, you don't even eat no more? Don't look at my belly. I eat when I'm scared. The Bible says, I prepare a table before thine enemies. So eat, son. Okay. Apostle Paul looks at them and says, you've been so scared for so long you haven't eaten. So he gets the bread. Watch this. In the midst of the very storm, the midst of them thinking they're about to perish, he breaks bread with them. He takes communion with them, and he has them eat all they can eat until they're full and ready. What does that signify? That when you're in the place that you think you're about to lose your life, start thanking God and start communing with God and fill yourself with the bread of life, because what he's about to do is bring you out. Woo! He didn't share it just with the prisoners. He shared it with everybody. How is it that now the captain of the ship is going to listen to the one that is shackled? You're going to listen to the one you put in the galley, the one you put down at the very bottom. You're going to listen to him, the one you have in shackles. You have him in chains. He says, I broke bread and I gave it to them till they were full. And even the captain says, there's something about you. I ain't leaving because there's something inside of you that tells me if I stick with you, I will survive. And all of a sudden, the captain of the ship says, there's something about this boy right here. I know he's a Mexican. His hair is receding. He's got a goatee that's kind of crooked on the side, but it's all right. There's something about him. Listen to him. After they ate their food, this is what the Bible says. They threw all. Not so bad, but after he broke bread with them in fellowship, the Bible says that they threw all their wheat into the ocean. They threw the excess that was not necessary for them on their ship. They got rid of the excess, and they threw their tackle, the things that they thought that they needed. God says, all you need is a fragment. You don't need the excess. All you need is to get rid of some stuff that you don't need. And then the boat ran aground and it broke into pieces. It cracked in half. And the captain says, those that can swim, swim. Those that can't, grab hold of the pieces of the ship and swim to the land. Your fragments will get you to where you need to go. Your fragments will keep you afloat. Your fragments will get you. Your fragments will save you. It's not about who's with you. It's who is in you that gets you to where you need to go. What you got. Let them jump ship. Let them go here. Let them go there. But Paul was resolute. He was resolute in what the Lord spoke to him. This isn't my end. This isn't my destiny. This is not where I end up. I need to go beyond where I'm at today, and whatever it looks like, I gotta trust you, God. Even if I've got to float on the pieces that are left. Even if I have to just put my life on the pieces that are remaining. Even though there's not much I can stand on, but I can float on the fragment that you have left me, God. Because where you're taking me next, God, you will build a new vessel for me. You will build a new place for me. And those in whom you have brought unto me, God, will see and catch a vision that is far greater than what they've ever seen or believed or even heard. It says, if you just trust me, son, trust me. It's your fragments and your pieces that will take you to where you need to go. It don't look favorable. It don't even look like God. Don't even look like you should belong there because it's so stormy, dark, and bleak. The Bible said they couldn't see the stars or the moon for days. They lost all sense of direction. even when they couldn't see the stars that were used to navigate where you're to go or to navigate and tell you where your position is. The Bible says in this very story that they could tell they were getting closer to shore, that they started sending the sound down to the floor to see how deep it was. 120 fathoms, they were out. Every now and then on your walk with God, you've got to send the sound down to let you know you're not where you used to be. Because then they did it again, and it was 90-something feet. Their fear of hitting a sandbar made them cut the ropes of the anchors. Sometimes we got to cut the rope to keep you tied down. Even though it looks like it's a wreck, it is that wreck that brings you the saving grace that you need. The fragments in your life, use what you have. Use what you have. It may be insignificant, but use what you have. Thank you, I heard you. Fragmented. Fragmented. No sense of direction. In a season of your life, you felt like, how will I ever know what to do? Where to go? Is this you? But God is going to use the fragment parts of your life. You're a leader. Quit following. You're a leader. God has given you that ability to lead people, to teach people, instruct people. Use it for the kingdom of God. That'll be, that doesn't mean go and be holy, carry a Bible everywhere you go. That means trust God, follow after Him. And when He begins to speak to you, just speak what He gives you. There's fire that's inside of you. Fire with the power of God that's inside of you. Trust that everything that has been fragmented over the course of your life, 15, 16 years old, I see some things that have taken place in your life that hurt you. And know that God sees it, but He's bringing healing to you. He's going to use it. He's going to use it. You're blessed. You're blessed. You are blessed. You deserve greatness. You do. Your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. God's ready. You feel that heat in your body right now? You feel that heat in there? Okay, He's beginning to bring healing to your heart and into your soul. It's how much He loves you. Thank you. You think you're sitting down, but you're actually sitting on His lap. You see Him, you're like right behind your neck, like to fall asleep. You're always messing like this in your hair. And it kind of gives you comfort, but I hear the Spirit of God saying that I'm doing that right now. To bring her comfort and peace, to rest in me. Rest in me. Let Him bring that healing, beloved, whatever it is. Whatever it is. God knows. He loves you. I speak blessings to you.